Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. So, this morning, Be'ez Hashem Yisborach, we are beginning Perek Zion, the very last Perek in Shar HaBitachon. And the closer we get to the end, the greater and the higher the words are. And here in Perek Zion, the Baal Chovas Lavavis, Unzer Rebbe, the Heilige Baal Chovas Lavavis, is explaining to us those things which are Ma'abed Bitachon. He says, until now, we have learned about what Bitachon is. And we have to know, he's going to prove to us that there are different Madregas in Bitachon. We have learned till now what bitachon means, the definition of the word. It took us six prakim to define the term bitachon. So, number one, we're going to learn now in the final perek that there's a danger you could lose your bitachon. And number two, we're going to learn how, on the other hand, one can improve bitachon and go from level to level. So he says, what makes a person... There are many things, we learned earlier things, but now he's going to pinpoint some very important ones. And that is, in a nutshell, Chayser ha-yediyah b'yachayles ha-bilti mugbele shal-abayri. What Ma'am B'tochen is because B'tochen means to put our trust in Hashem, and we don't know who Hashem is, and we don't realize that the Rabbi Shalom is unlimited. So our bitachon is limited. We can only trust in that which we know. So if we think that the Rabbi Shalom, oh yeah, well, we know he's not just a millionaire. The Rabbi Shalom's a billionaire. Shkoyach. But really, then we get a little, oh, he's really a trillionaire. Sesoich, not the full story. The full story is that the Rabbi Shalom is endless. So to the extent that we have any limits in our hasag of the Rabbi Nishtalam, to that extent, our bitachon is lacking. To that extent, our bitachon is deficient. So we therefore, it behooves us to know more about the Rabbi Nishtalam. And the more we know about Hashem, he says, we will have less worries, and we'll have more menucha nefesh. So if a person is worried, the simon, that we don't know who God is. So we hold ourselves a Baal Bitachon. This, I think, is already, I think, the 35th shiur that we're having. 33rd shiur in the Bitachon. Since Sukkot. We're definitely very advanced. We're probably 33 shiurim ahead of most of the world. So we're not doing too bad. We're not just a BA, we're holding by the MA. We're working towards a PhD, and we earned the BB, the BB degree we got in the Baal Bitachon. Well, now we're holding by Madregas, I hope. But the truth is, he says, is that if we have some worries still in life, you don't have a Nuchas Nefesh, you're not sleeping really quietly, if something's bothering you, you're not at the Baal Bitachon. Baal Bitachon, the Rabbi Shalom has endless, 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 unlimited powers. So I have no worries whatsoever. It's all in the hands of the Rabbi Shalom. My only worry is that I haven't served the Rabbi Shalom enough. That's what to worry about. Otherwise, as far as my physical situation, nothing to worry about. Spiritually, I have worries. Asher Adam Mafaki Tamid, Ahubi Devri Tayrexiv. Fortunate is the man who's worried all the time. That's in Tayre. Didn't learn enough, didn't daven well enough. Of course, everyone after Elena today sat down for 2 minutes and took stock of their davening. They were chavin everywhere they should, and davening shmonesri long enough. Made the brachas properly, had kavanah by the shem avaya. That's what we have to worry about. For this, we need an accountant. But for the money, don't worry about it. Daiganish. So that's number one. Ma'abed the bitachon is chesar and yediyah and the yachaylis habilti magbele shel abayrei. Number two, what's Ma'abed Bitachon is not knowing what Bitachon means, that there's a mitzvah to be Samech on Hashem all the time. And if we knew more Torah and mitzvahs, we'd have more bitachon. Like, for instance, his example is, he says, one example I'll give you is, Meiser. State the Mapasu Malachi Aviyu es Kola Meiser Beis Oitzer. The Navi tried to Klai Yisrael bring Meiser to the treasury house. That's the charity treasury. Vihi Terev Vibesi Ubachanuni Nabizois. Now, of course, that's also being a Meiser true as well. Ubachanuni Nabizois. The Rebbe says, test me on this. Amar the Noi Tzvois. Imlo Yeftach Lechem Eis Arubas Hashemayim. Very Kaisel Lechem Brocha Ad Bli Doi. So the Rebbe says, Meiser, you can test me. And you'll see, I will open the windows of heaven, and I'll pour down on you a bracha that has no end. Ad belidoy, you'll never say enough. You can't say enough. So, does haste, if you don't understand the mitzvah of Meiser, you don't understand the unlimited powers of the Rebbe Shlom. So, Zepman, that without knowing mitzvahs, so in other words, the first statement he made aroused the second question. He said, the chesaron bitachon is, of course, it's felt a deficiency in knowledge of Hashem, brings to a deficiency in faith in Hashem, because you can't have faith in something you don't know. So how am I supposed to know it? So therefore the second statement answers the first one. The way to know Hashem's unlimited ways is to learn His unlimited Torah and to do His mitzvahs that really have no end. And it says in Navi Yeshaya, says in Perek Chavav, B'tchu ba'doinoi adeyad, ki b'yo adoinoi tzur olamim. Have faith in Hashem forever and ever and ever. Adayad means forever and ever and ever and ever. And that's why Taka mitzvahs go on forever and ever, like we learned last week's parasha. Nosain titein, the mitzvah of tzedakah, is not just an amount of a tenth or a fifth, but it says nosain titein, afilu me'apamim. You have to give again and again and again. And me'apamim doesn't mean just 100. It means even 100 and beyond, you have to keep on giving and giving and giving. That's why my tzedakah, according to many Rishonim, Meiser and Chaimesh are only what you separate. There's no Aniyim around. You have to put it aside and wait for the Aniyim to come to you, or look around for an Aniyim if you want. You don't really have to look. But if they come, you have to have ready for them, Meiser or Chaimesh. But if you gave Meiser or Chaimesh, and Aniyim still comes to your door, you still have to give something, according to many Rishonim. You're not saying you pot it now. Well, I gave away my Chaimesh and Meiser, sorry. No. That's what you have to separate. That we have to put aside. Doesn't belong to you to start with. Then beyond that, nothing titan, if you don't have a if you give and give again, this is on the 100 times. They've been back over 100 times already. And if you give all the Aniyim over 100 times, they have to give and give and give. So from the unlimited, from the no limits obligation for mitzvah, we learn the no limit of the Rabbanim Shlom was the mitzvah. But now I must tell you, okay. Those of you here today are going to get a gift. You get a gift. Because you're here. Shtal Zendai. Now the Chavetz Chaim says something, which I believe, I hope I've been paying attention to the first 32 shurim we had. This is, I believe, number 33. I hope I've been paying attention. Sometimes you don't, necessarily. Sometimes you talk, you don't even listen to yourself. But I think this is the most powerful statement I've heard till now. Listen to this. This is mamish the gift, Rabbi Yisai. You're lucky you're here. I'm glad you've developed. All the people I like are here today. Very nice. Zog the Chavetz Chaim is, this can change your life. This statement can really change your life. Oh, glad you came. Zog that one of the things that Mavi be talking is, Netiyas Adam liyaches Yecholes legorme hagamor shu royois and beinav hamoitziim es amiras lapoyel lois behem es bitchaynoi ves tekvas lahasig al yadam eshi faisav. One of the main things that makes us, that destroys our bitachon, destroys it. You have it already. See, this is for those who have it. You got your BB degree, you got your MA and your PhD in bitachon. And you can lose it all. How? The nature of men is to attribute our success with those actions and those people who are closer to the finishing line. I'll explain it. And we think that the closer this person is to helping me realize my ambitions, that's the person who really counts. And the person, or the institution, or the force, which is further away, is not so critical and cannot help or hurt my situation. That which is further away. We think that what's rachayk, whatever is further from the end result, that's not so important. Whoever is closer to the end result, the decision maker, the guy who signs the check, that's the guy who really counts. And this is all wrong. And he gives a mashal. Hazal pasha the mashal. As a baby can understand this mashal. Mashal melech. A melech, Rachman Lizlan, wants to punish one of his servants. So what does he do? Calls in the Mishnah Melech. Calls in the viceroy. Says, you know what? Beryl Ben Yankel, gotta go. Kill him. I don't like him. So the Mishnah Melech, kings certainly don't execute. He's not an executioner. Is the viceroy an executioner? No. So he calls up, the field marshal of the whole armed forces. But the field marshal wears white gloves also. He doesn't kill people. He doesn't execute people. So the field marshal calls up the head of the MPs, the military police. Now, the head of the MPs, he doesn't kill people. He's the MP. He also wears white gloves. So he called the fellow in charge of the Bureau of Prisons. Okay? The head of the Bureau of Prisons, he doesn't kill people. He calls up the fellow in charge of the of death row, of executions. And then the fellow in charge of executions calls up the warden of a particular prison. And that's an execution prison with a dungeon. And he calls the fellow in charge of, he calls the fellow in the prison who's the door executioner. So finally, after going through a chain of command, maybe 10 people, finally we get down to Ivan the executioner. So it goes from Ivan the terrible, the Tsar of Russia, down to Ivan the nobody, the executioner. So now, Ivan the executioner goes over to Beryl Ben Shmendrik and says, okay Beryl, you're a dead man. You're in jail. The king decided that you're going to be executed. You've been rotting in jail long enough. It's time to execute you. So Beryl is going to beg Ivan, please save my life. Don't kill me. Because Ivan's the one who's holding the big hatchet over his head. Does Ivan have any power? Does he have any say? No. So Ivan says, no, I'm just a little Ivan. I'm Ivan. I'd love to, I really have Rechmaz, you're a nice man. You're so nice. You used to share your chocolates with me over here in jail. You're a very nice guy. You got those packages from home. So I'll speak to the warden. Warden, maybe you have some compassion on Beryl. So I'm not the balabas over here. I just took orders from the head of the prisons. I'll call the head of the Bureau of Prisons. Hello, can we do anything about this poor Beryl? Nebuchadnezzar has 10, 15 children. Nice fellow. Really ashamed to kill him. Really are Rechmanis. Warden says, I'm not in charge over here. I'm not in charge. I'll call and get advice. It goes ahead of the military police. The military police goes back to the field marshal. The field marshal says, I'm not the balabas. I got a call from the viceroy. Hello, viceroy, maybe he gets... I'm not in charge of here. Let's go to the king. These people never saw the king. They don't know the king. They don't know... His telephone number is not listed. They don't know Shaykhus. They don't know. So the king, who Beryl in jail, will never ever see in his life. And Ivan, the executioner, will never, never, never see his life. The king is really in charge. So Ivan might be hanging over you with the guillotine, but Ivan is not the balabas. Ivan, the executioner, is no shakas being the balabas over here. So why do we see that whoever is closer to the execution is further from the command? He is the lowest in the chain of command. And there's a commander in chief someplace, you never even see him, and he's the balabas. He says, this is the rule of life, Zakta Chavez Levavis. That's exactly how the Rabbanu Shalom works. That we think that it's our boss at work. He's the one that determines my pranasa. I better be nice to my boss. Because he signs the checks. So he's the guy to give. Make sure to give him a good present. For Chanukah, for Purim, Davin Gitshmir. Make sure to run to his chasna. Don't miss the boss's chasna. If the boss makes chasna, you miss his chasna. Oh boy, you're in trouble. You'll not get a bonus this year. Gotta be nice to the boss. Gotta ingratiate yourself to the boss. Because he signs the checks. But you're going to miss davening to go to the boss's chasna. You're not going to learn tonight. You're not going to do Yidaf Yomi. So come a little late, you know. No, the boss, I know he wants me every second. I got to be every second. And then Shkafer, come a little late. Go daven like a mensch. Is there a minion by the boss? No minion by his chasna. But you're going to miss davening at the minion. There's a Rabbi Shalom. The Rabbi Shalom really signs the checks. No, the boss. I got to be very friendly with the boss. You'll come a little late to the chasna. Shkafer, you think he's noticed you. 2,000 other people over there. He's probably ashamed of you anyway. You're wearing a beard and yarmulke by his chasna. What are you so worried about the boss? Go daven like a mensch. Go learn. Then you'll come a little later. Learn with your kids. You come a little later. No, the boss, he signs the checks. The boss that signs the checks is not signing the checks. The Rabbi Shalom is the one who issues the commands. Said Narsha mentioned the further away the Rabbi Shalom is from what we seem is from our Aslacha, that's really the source of Aslacha. The more, as they said, that's how Bitachon works. The more a person is makir the Rabbi Shalom, and he realizes that the Rabbi Shalom is watching over us, and all he wants our good. This is how we come to Bitachon. It's a merit, Gazar. I mean, we should just sit and think about this. Mamash, we should just meditate over this. Anachamo, whatever seems to be closer is further. And whatever is further is closer. Just remember that. So next time you're in doubt, whether to open the store up or day or not. The store looks like the source of your pranasa, yeah? That's what it looks like. The store, capital S. So God is with a little g, lowercase g, and store is big, double, Kiddush Levana, you see a store, big S, like Superman, you know? So the big S like Superman, and God is a little g, like an alphabet soup, little itty-bitty g, God, and store is big S, that's where it all is. Work, big W. Office, like the big O. You know, but you know, there's a certain place that the nickname of the place is called the Big O, because the name of this place starts with an O. So some people call it the Big O. Other people call it the Grace of Garnished, because the O is zero. So you can look at the O as being the Big O, and you can look at the O as being the Grace of Garnished. So the office looms large in people's life. My office. This is it. This is the Kodesh HaKadosh, my Parnasa, the office, the head office. It says, the closer it is, one of the signs of your check is the furthest from deciding whether you get your check. The one who signs the check has the least to do with your check. Least to do whether you're going to get fired or not. And the one who's furthest away, the Rabbanu Shalom, I never see him in the office. I don't think God would want to come into my office. I don't think God would be too comfortable in my office. So he's certain. What does he have to do with my office, God? He wouldn't come into such a place, a God-forsaken place. So God, the Rabbi Shalom, who seems to be furthest in the office, he's the one who sends the checks. Oh, your advice is gewaltig. Whatever is further is closer. Whatever is closer is further. We can stop right here. What are we? So, yesterday, my good friend Moshe Kraus, I'm telling you, our boys who had no asaga, what a schus we had after Yid. Snish Poshet. I know this Yid for quite a few years. I spent a lot of time with him, hours and days in Eretz Yisrael. And the more I'm with him, the more I see, I don't even begin to know who he is. So Moshe was telling me that he had a Rebbe. Now, the truth is, after I hear about his Rebbes and where he learned in Cheder, so I'm not, I mean, if I would also maybe be a psahalba mensch. There's a Yid in Yerushalayim, a Heist Reb Daniel Frisch. Reb Daniel Frisch is a grace of tzaddik, and a grace of makubal, grace of Talmud Chacham. And on Friday night, by the Tish of the Toldos Avraham Yitzchak Rebbe, who's the grandson of the Heilige Shemir Amunim. So at the Tish, the Rebbe sits in the middle. And on the side, one side is right side, is Rebbe Meir Bransdorfer from the Gedolei Yisrael, Gedolei Talmidei Chachamim. So Rebbe Meir Bransdorfer is on one side. And on the other side is Rabbi Daniel Frisch, and the Rebbe can dveik it for hours. Now the Rebbe closes his eyes, they close their eyes, and they hold on to the Rebbe's hand, because the Rebbe is going to be let loose, he might fly through the roof. I'm not joking, he might just fly out. And they sing Negunim, Heilige Dveikas, the Negunim for hours, the eyes of Hamacht. So I see this Rabbi Daniel Frisch up front over there, Vesach, he's a Geisah, Heilige Erlich, Hayid. But now, my friend Ramayja tells me that when he was in Cheder 50 years ago, his Rebbe in Cheder, his Rebbe was Rabbi Daniel Frisch with the Cheder Rebbe. What's our Rebbe does? This is a Rebbe who taught little Inglach under Bar Mitzvah about Kedushas Ha'achila, though you eat, you have to eat the Kedusha V'tara, you have to mechaven, you have to think about the Rebbeinu when you eat. Never too early to teach a kid how to eat the Kedusha. Look at, give a look at the way our kids eat. Give a look how we eat, like Behemoth. Yeval, you have to eat the Kedusha. Your eyes have to shmir senayim the Kedusha. Watch out where you look. Watch out where you touch. Watch out what you touch, watch how you get dressed, watch how you get undressed. And during recess, if you want to give the boys a little rest, you take them out to a field and tell them, look at the Shemayim, the Rabbanu Shalom is all over, Marab Masecha Hashem, Kiera Shemecha, Maisez Basecha, Yerev Kechav Masher Kananta. Zav Zend the Rabbanu Shalom, every place, wherever you are, the Dinder Rabbanu Shalom, and then this. The kids used to take little pieces of paper, a little branch, little twigs. They used to make a little bonfire in the middle of the field. And then they set this fire on a fire. And the Rebbe would say, Kindalach, Medav Zayin Greitz, the gain of Kiddush Hashem. You have to be ready to go and die on Kiddush Hashem. What would be if a guy would come over to you with a gun and say, bow down to a tzelem, bow down to an idol, what would you do? And every kid would run up to the fire and say, I would throw myself into the fire better than to the worship of Avodah Zarah. And that's how the kids got chinuch for Kiddush Hashem, Mesiras Nefesh. I mean, any school in America with such a curriculum, they close it down immediately and say, this is a loony bin, forget about it. This is a cult. This will be branded absolute cult. You see that? I think, no, I'm the Vada Chinuch of a certain yeshiva. Maybe I'll introduce a course in Kiddush Hashem. Try that one. Besides, Kiddush Hashem 101. Make little fires in the backyard. And the Kindlach should, Rebbe says, Kindlach, what would you do if a guy said to murder somebody? A guy said to worship eyes, what was about the Yitan? Rebbe, throw myself into a fire like Avram Avinu. Avram did it at 3 years old. Never too young to learn about Mesiras Nefesh. So, if I'll do a as I read, but maybe if I'll do a chayat as I read, that's a chinuch. So the kids, this Rabbi Daniel Frisch, I think it was his father or Shver, he worked in a mill in the Altstadt, that's what we call today the Rova Yehudi. It was a mill to grind wheat, grind flour. So, in this mill, in the olden days, this goes back to the turn of the century, how did you grind? I mean, this was not a water mill. And this wasn't a windmill. The way the flour was ground is that they would take a donkey, and the donkey would be blindfolded, and the donkey would go round and round and round all day, as long as the worker's there, and pull a pole which was attached to the grinding stones with gears, and this would grind the flour, the wheat into flour. But it's like a shtickle, it's almost like sarva l'chaim almost, to make the poor donkey go around like this day and night. So the donkey, they didn't want the donkey to feel bad, so they blindfolded the donkey, so the donkey shouldn't realize it's really going in circles. But even that, the donkey would go meshuggah. A donkey is not as stupid as we think. So they made in the flour mill, like, they made a terrain, an artificial terrain. There was like ups and downs. And there was like the surface on a flat surface. It was a little different. Sometimes go up and down. So the circle wouldn't be monotonous. Otherwise, it'd be so monotonous, even a donkey would go crazy. So the donkey is going around all day, blindfolded, and it thinks it's going someplace. But it's not going anywhere. It's just going in circles. And it's going up and down, but the same circle. So someone, a Talmud Chacham, once came to this mill and saw what they did to the donkey and said, "Donkey, that's us. Is them the Zelda donkeys. We don't see what's going on in life. We think we're making progress in life. Then it says we're blindfolded. We're going around in circles. The Baruch Hu, we think we're accomplishing something. We think that we're the ones in charge of our lives. We think we're the balabatim. The balabas of the mill is the Rabbeinu Shalom. The only one who makes up decides how much wheat there'll be, how much flour there'll be is the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're a bunch of donkeys, and we're blindfolded. We don't see where we're going. We don't even know what we're doing. And we're just going up and down. Life's interesting. There's up, the stock market goes up, it goes down. My business is up, my business is down. This is all the Rabbeinu Shalom takes away the monotony of life. He doesn't want you to go crazy. You'll be monotonous. You'll be in the store every single day, the same exact customers every day, the same orders every day, the same sugar every day. You go with sugar. Someone will come every day order the same carpet. Every single day, the same customer, the same carpet, the same $1,000 every day. You go crazy. Meshuggah. Same color, same style. A year, 2 years, 3 years, you go with sugar. So Rabbeinu Shalom wants you. He says, I'll make it a little monotonous for you. So we'll go up, goes down. So you, oh, last month wasn't so good, this month will be better. But we're a bunch of donkeys, the balabasa, the Rabbeinu Shalom, and only he sends the parnasa. The Baal Tigerayim. But I told me a maisa, a taka, in that very mill, I believe it was that mill in the Altstadt, the original owner had a donkey, one donkey, that was so incredibly strong, and it never stopped. It just kept on working and working and working. He couldn't get over it. Yeah. He couldn't get over this donkey, the original owner of this mill, the Altstadt, that had one donkey that worked incessantly. It worked with such kayach. It worked with such vigor and such stamina that was just incredible. People used to come looking at the donkey. Like it just kept on going and going. These donkeys are very slow. If you ever saw a donkey that's slow and stubborn, this donkey just went around and around and around and around. One day, the Qadi is like a judge, it's an official by the Muslims, who lived in the Muslim area of the old city, heard about this donkey, came to see it, and he had such a desire, he wanted to own this donkey. He wanted this donkey in the worst way. But the owner didn't want to sell it. Why should he sell the donkey? It's a very good donkey. He said, no, I got to have the donkey. Finally, Imamish threatened the Yid, you must sell me this donkey. He offered him a fortune of money. The Yid didn't really want to sell it. Okay, the Qadi wanted it so badly. He said, I'll give you enough money to buy 10 donkeys. I'll pay you for 10 donkeys. Just give me this donkey. This is a wonder donkey. I want this donkey. So he said, okay, come back tomorrow. We'll consummate the deal. That night, he had a dream. The owner of the mill, the Yid, had a dream. And his former partner came to him in the dream. I think his name is Yaakov. And the partner says to him, you know, I have to tell you, truth of the matter is, we were partners, but I was not really honest. I was so poor, and I was so struggling. I had such a big family to feed, that sometimes I would ganv, I would steal money. I would steal money from the till. And over the years, it came to a large sum. And when I died, I went to Shemayim, and they said, can't come in. As long as you have stolen money, you can't come into Shemayim. So I asked them what to do. So they said, the only eight is you have to return the money. You have to return the money to your partner you stole it from. Well, how do I do that? I'm in Shemayim. He says, well, you'll have to come back as a Gilgal. You'll have to be reincarnated, and you have to come back as a donkey. And you'll work extra, much, much more than a donkey usually works. And that way you'll give extra profits back to your partner. And that way you'll pay back. So he said, please don't sell me. Because even though I pay you a lot of money, that's not enough. I must work it off. And Shemayim is Nigzer that I have to work it off by you. And if you sell me tomorrow to the Qadi, I'm in that donkey. That's why this donkey works so hard. It's been the donkey, and I'm working real hard to pay off my debt as quickly as possible. And don't sell me, because that will interrupt everything. So the owner said, sell you? I'm not going to sell. I'm moichel you. I didn't realize it. I'm moichel. I forgive you. The next morning he comes to the barn to hook up the donkey to get to work again, and the donkey is dead. Because the whole donkey only lived for one purpose, to pay up his debt. The donkey now is dead. So the kids, but that's what we are. And actually told me another story. The story actually is about a Yid, Shimon Heusman. Shimon Heusman was a very gehaven Yid, lived in Chevron. A lot of amazing stories about him. This is Shimon Heusman, is a great-great-great-grandfather of my daughter-in-law. his grandson, Rabbi Tzion Zalif, he is alive in Yerushalayim, Shafu Shleima. So I know Rabbi Shimon Weizman was a very chashiv, he lived around the turn of the century. He became a mechutin with Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld. So Rabbi Shimon Weizman was a oyved Hashem, but he was a big merchant. And he used to go travel. In those days, in the turn of the century in Israel, the mode of travel was donkeys. We're talking here even the late 1900s. So they used to go, he used to do big businesses with, he used to travel around the country on a sturdy donkey. People didn't travel, he didn't ride horses. So he used to travel around the country with his business, go to little Arab villages, do all kinds of merchantry with the Arabs, all kinds of geschäften he had with the Arabs in different little places. So every time he came with his donkey, it was a long trip. You know, the trip to Hebron today, from the Yerushalayim to Hebron, what's an hour? Those days, it took a day, more than a day. So every time he stopped, the first thing he did was he unsaddled his donkey and gave the donkey to eat. And he gave him some water, let it rest. Now he used to remark, he says, you know, I'm doing business in this village over here worth thousands and thousands of pounds sterling. I'm doing big business with the different mukhtars, the different, he used to go to Abu Ghush, he went to Moza, he went to all these villages around Yerushalayim doing different business with the different mayors of the city and the other different people. He says, the donkey thinks that the purpose of this trip from Hebron to Moza was that he should have a good meal eating straw and drink some water. And he should get a rest over here in a nice pundak. He always passed by Moitza, you see, Pundak Moitza. You notice that I come to Yerushalayim, there's a Pundak. Somebody has to go see what this looks like. Pundak Moitza. Moitza Inn. You know? Holiday Inn of Moitza. So my donkey thinks that the reason why he traveled from Hebron to Moitza is so he should have a good meal, some good crunchy straw, and have a good drink, and be able to take a good schluff in Pundak Moitza. But I know, I was riding the donkey. It's all different purpose of coming to Moitza. It was because of my geschäften, it was because of my idea, it wasn't to give him food, it was because I have an agenda, and I have to make money, and he doesn't even have, he has no concept what's going on in my business. He says the exact same thing, human beings. We're all a bunch of donkeys in the hands of their Baruch Shalom. Their Baruch Shalom is using us for his, he has his purposes in life. Their Baruch Shalom puts us in, we think we're a Muncie because the boss sent us over here. Because my wife wanted to buy a house on Mariner Way because she liked the trees and she liked the neighborhood. I thought I came here because I liked that wonderful shul. I thought that, their Baruch Shalom, we're Banda Aislin. We're here because their Baruch Shalom is what, there's a reason that you have to make a bracha. You have to make a bracha someplace someplace on the exact footage, on a certain place under a certain tree, by certain blades of grass, by a certain rock on your property. It's bashert from the time of Adam Rishon that you have to make a bracha over there. You have to make a shakal nebizvari because there's a nitzos of kedusha that's hiding someplace over there. So that's why their Baruch Shalom went through all the whole business that the fellow should make a development, and make a mariner way, and they build houses, and there should be sewage, and there should be lights and electricity, and you should live here, and you go, everything you went through was so that you should do what their Baruch Shalom wants. Hashem has a different agenda. You think you're here because of your agenda. So why am I a Muncie? Because my agenda. I like Muncie. You're not here, Muncie. Hashem gave you a liking for Muncie because he wanted you to be a Muncie. Because Achein Malkam Al Yashvav. Hashem gives Achein that you want to live in a certain place. Not because it's good for you necessarily. Could be it's a terrible place. That's why Hashem does it. How can you have Achein in a place that these cities were full of soot, crime-ridden cities. People live in crime-infested, rat-infested houses. And they're wealthy people, they can do better, and they stay in the same old tenement for many years, and they never moved out of the old neighborhood. Why? Does it make sense? Because you're not living here because you, your sense told you to live there. It's because Hashem wants you to live here for whatever is good. I don't know, I'm a donkey. Don't ask me why. We're not like an azel. So just like, yes, the donkey, why are you here in Moza? He doesn't understand English anyway. So don't ask me what I'm doing over here. But if I'm going to answer you, oh yeah, I'll tell you what I'm doing over here. I have a mission in life. This is my mission. Not my mission. That's really, it's God's mission. If I say it's my mission, I'm here because of my agenda, I'm a foolish person. I'm as dumb as that dumb azel. We are blindfolded, and the Rebbe Shalom has this course for us, and we're going around in circles, and we're just grinding wheat for the Rebbe Shalom. He's the balabas. He decides what's going to be and what's happening. So it looks like Epis, we know what's going on. Zavtachavis Levavis, this is the most amazing thing he said. Nachamal, he says, the closer the Siba, the closer the cause is to the realization of my ambition, the further it is. And whatever is further away from my success is really closer. So in life we should never become hung up and transfixed on those people or those processes or those institutions or forces that appear to have a critical role in our lives. Narishkeit, just the opposite. Whatever appears to have a dramatic power over our lives is a facade, it's a lie. The closer it is, this man's decision is the closest to determining my job, career, false. Dafk is like that. He's the least. The closer he is, it's a rai, the furthest away. Just like the executioner is the bottom of that long chain of command. And just because he happens to hold the hatchet, he has nothing to do with the final execution. The decision has nothing to do with him. He's the furthest removed. This ignorant executioner is the furthest removed from the decision whether I'll be executed or not. It is the commander-in-chief and the czar above the commander-in-chief who is ultimately in charge. The further away, the greater the power. So we should never, this is, we can now go back to everything in our lives. Everything in our lives, and we should live unworried lives. The reason we worry so much is because, so I took my car, the mechanic, the car is broken, and I'm worried. I'd be nice to the mechanic. So I wanted to get to my car, and he tells me, sorry, I can't get around to your car till, I can't even look at it till Tuesday. My car is stuck in the till Tuesday in the shop. I need a car. So who am I going to be nice to now? Oh, it'd be nice to the mechanic. Maybe I'll buy a box of chocolates. Maybe I'll slip him a $20 bill. Because the mechanic is the one who's in charge of whether I get my car. The mechanic's not in charge. I should dive into the Rabbani Shalom. The one who has no shaykhas. I've never seen God in a greasy, dirty garage with the mechanics over there. They have other things hanging. Not pictures of God and religion over there. I haven't seen God. I haven't seen any tilim over there in that garage. That's not where they hang on the walls over there. So it looks like God is a God for second place. But if I want to get my car quicker, I don't have to ingratiate myself to the mechanic. I'll pay him. I'll give him what he deserves. I don't have to go and play games to try to call up. Oh, hey, maybe you know this mechanic. Hey, so you know the mechanic? He's your buddy, you know? You simply give the mechanic a call for me. Come on, please, get the mechanic to do the work for me. If I want my car quicker, I don't need somebody to use protectia with the mechanic. Protectia is the hepech of bitachon. That's a good thing to remember. This whole concept called protectia is the antithesis of bitachon. Protect and bitachon are poles apart, no shaykhs. Protect and bitachon is gefährlich. And any system that runs on protectia, we're falling into a system that is the hepech of bitachon. So dangerous. And the people, who do you respect in this world? Protectia. I got diplomatic plates. I got the right card, the right badge. I know the right people. I know the governor. I can the mayor. I can speak to a policeman. They have no shaykhs to the parasha. No shaykhs to the parasha. The closer the person seems to be to the final decision, the further he is away. And the further the force is, the closer it is. And there's nothing further than the Rabbani Shalom. There's nothing more removed from this world than the Rabbani Shalom, so to speak. He's up there someplace. But the truth is, he's the commander-in-chief, he's the czar, and he is in charge. Rabbani, think about that for a week. For a week. For a lifetime, and then we're on the road to be talking. This is unbelievable. This is gewaltig. No? Skedai to come in? Say, what? That's it. Then we can close up shop.